And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And perhaps we can look again to the Lord. Our Father and God, we've opened your word. So help us understand that which you say, that we might have the benefit of all that it means to be able to know you and honor you the better. And our God and Father, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the first epistle of John, as we're coming to the end of that particular book, we are reminded by God that we're to have a very unique relationship to God. God meant us, designed us to know him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. We're made in his image and likeness. And God expects and wants and looks for and died on the cross to make possible a relationship, a very personal relationship, as we shared in Sunday school, that God gives to us our person, his person, and his person brings to us a gift, which is his person. He is the gift. He's the gift, a good gift. He is the gift, his person. We're supposed to know him. It is God's intent. And as we shared in Sunday school a little bit, of why it's absent. It's absent because if you're going to enjoy God as he would have you, you're to enjoy the life of God while you're in this earthly body in a most wonderful way. That would make you unable, from a human standpoint. We say, well, if I'm going to have a heavenly relationship, how can I enjoy my earthly one? So we tend to push it aside, that even the thought of it, to have a relationship to God, what does that do to all our other relationships? How do we even enjoy them, exercise them in the light of God? So therefore, in God's wonderful grace, that's what he's looking for, period. Now hang on to that. That's the whole issue, and that's the ball game. The devil, the god of this world, the devil, the Satan himself, doesn't want humans to enjoy that relationship. He enjoyed a unique relationship, Lucifer, son of the morning, before he fell, Isaiah 14. He enjoyed it. He doesn't want you to enjoy it, to enjoy that relationship. So, church, okay, you sing and do what we do, but it's all on our terms. It's all in our terms. We sing and everything is, we don't go past the ceiling. We enjoy a relationship to God, but not to heaven, not to the God of heaven. We enjoy a relationship to God. We appreciate you. We want to know about you, but we do not understand to know that you want to know us in a very personal, wonderful way that we don't know. Now, so therefore, Deuteronomy, using Israel to start us off, to help us understand us human beings, in this place, here's Israel. And in chapter 4, you remember Israel is chosen to be a super-duper nation, God's nation. And to all the nations, they were privileged to be head and shoulders above everybody, anywhere. They were to have a unique enjoyment of God in a real and wonderful way. Chapter 4, verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom. This is God's word. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations that are looking at you, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath gone so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? They were to be a marked, wonderful nation, to be Israel was, to show the world, not the Israel's already like the world. God's going to show them God in Israel, God saving Israel, and that's an awesome thing. Now, having said that little bit, go over with me, please, to chapter 5. As you know, and God reminds them at Mount Sinai, they had a wonderful assignment, but, and you know all these things, chapter 5, in verse 20, chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, well, let me get down to verse 22. Chapter 5, and in verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud of the thick gladness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me. God spoke to them directly, a big personal relationship. And it came to pass when you heard the voice of the Lord out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, and you came near unto me, even on all the heads of your tribes and your elders. You all came to complain. Verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory, his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth, a personal relationship to God. Verse 25, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For, verse 26, and who is there of all flesh who that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? In other words, no, the Philistines and the rest never heard God. But we did, and we have heard God. And it's hard for us to hear God. Why? Because we can't relate to the saving grace of God. We don't understand it. We're to be his nation, to be a wonderful, wonderful people, privileged people indeed. But we can't even understand that. So we want to be like the nations, sliding down. They didn't. So they never heard of God to speak to them. And God tells you the reason. Verse 29. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. They had no heart. They needed to have a heart, but they didn't have a heart. Now, God, what are you going to do? They're responsible to have a relationship. They aren't exercising it. Think of Sunday school again. Then we have no power to make a choice. Wrong. All the way. People always have a choice. They're always accountable. So you can't pull it and say that like we did in Sunday school. Now, so therefore, over to chapter 30. And in chapter 30, here's Israel. And Israel has to make a choice, and God tells them to make the choice the right way, as you know, chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. What is life? Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest be glued unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, eternal life. You have a unique relationship to God. That purpose thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto our fathers, thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. They were to have, Israel was to enjoy a unique relationship to God. And we, all humans, are created to enjoy him and to honor him, to receive him. And so, as you know, would remember John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to become children of God. And therefore, what do you want? You want us to know your God. It isn't receive information, it's to receive him, to receive him who is full of grace and truth. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make that real. Make it real. Make what real? Your relationship to God. To make that real. Not to make you be a genius, have an IQ. No, to have a personal relationship to God. To be able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Or as David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Very personal. Now, and so therefore, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all work out in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to honor God and to enjoy God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's your Bible. That's what your Bible is. Page after page, it's trying to tell you how to enjoy and exercise a relationship to God, and tells you how not to exercise it. What people did so that they didn't enjoy the relationship. Now, having said that little bit to think, keep that in mind, now jump over to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I can, and you recall, God is bearing witness to who he is. And so, when we come into chapter 5, and you have it, you have the word all the way. Verse 6, the word witness. The verse 7, the word reckon. Witness, witness, witness. You go to verse 8, you have verse 8, and verse 9, verse 10. Witness, 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 twice. Witness, witness, three times. Witness, witness, witness. Verse 10, witness, witness, witness. Verse 10, a record. Verse 10, record, which is the word witness. Verse 11, record, which is the word witness. God, just keep saying over, you're giving us a personal witness. I'm telling you a testimony. Pay attention. I'm going to say it 10 different ways. I'm trying to tell you something, said God. I hope you listen to me. The world listens to all kinds of things. Hang on. Now, picking up, please. In chapter 5, going if I can, I'll pick it up, even I'll read it, verse 6. This is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and the blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. You're going to tell me the truth, God. He is. God said, I am. I cannot lie. Why would I lie? I went to the cross in Christ to die for you. It cost me. It cost me to bear your sin in my own body, to bear your sin in the incarnation, the wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It cost me. Why would I lie to you? I'm trying to tell you, it cost me myself. I had to die in the perfect humanity of Christ to save you. So please, listen to me, he said. You listen to everybody else. Hang on. The witness and the water. Baptism, our water, the word baptism. And we did that last time, but hold your finger right here and we'll do it quickly, just again to make sure we're on the same page again. Over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew and chapter 3. Two very public events. Our Lord, when he began his 3 1/3 years of ministry, he's introduced by John the Baptist, who's baptizing Israel. So Israel is very, very conscious of John the Baptist and what's happening. And John the Baptist is chosen to identify, that was John chapter 1, he's the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist said, I'm here to be a voice in the wilderness. I'm here to point to the Lamb of God, John 1:29, that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm here to do that. And therefore, public baptism, very public. So therefore, chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus answering said unto John, suffer it to be now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I'm the right person doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason to save you. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill the righteousness which you don't have, which I am going to give to you. Verse 16, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, heaven, and they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And not only the Spirit of God's going to mock him, the Father's going to mock him. Verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. God pointed him out, had him baptized, so the right person, so you know, according to the scriptures, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, he was died according to scripture, buried according to the scripture, risen according to the scripture, the Bible, Old Testament, points to him, here he is now. He died, and the Father stamps him. The Spirit of God stamps him. Therefore, back over to 1 John. And like you had in verse 6, by water and blood. And Christ went to the cross and died. And he died. No question he died. He's nailed. He's dead. But to make sure you understand, God said, let me confirm it for you. I'm going to have the soldier down below shove his spear into his side and go right through the pericardium into the heart. I'm going to have his spear shove right into him. He's dead. I confirm it for you. I'm going to have the spirit. I'm going to have the soldier do it, and it's marked. Marked. What did you say to Thomas and all them? Put your hands in my side. In my side, see my hands, see my side, see the hole. I died according to the scriptures. I shed my blood, very public. Public, you can't miss it. God said, what do you want? I sent my son to die, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. I mocked him. Water baptism. He's the right one. And then what did you do? And then I sent him into the wilderness 40 days and nights to the devil, Matthew chapter 4. And then he began his ministry. And then what was his ministry about? To let you know that he was the right one by works and all words, all that he did, to know the right one for 3 1/3 years. He's going to go to the cross and he's going to shed his blood. That's the whole thing. To said, I'm trying to tell you, said God, I'm bearing witness. I sent him. I mocked him. I mocked him. Water and blood. Therefore, earth. Therefore, in heaven. For there are three. Verse 7. We did all this last time, but here. For there are three that bear record, witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Heaven says he's the right one. So we're going to go to earth, back to earth, back to earth. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness, there's your word again, in earth. The Spirit of God, the water, which we just did, and the blood, these three agree in one. So heaven agrees and earth agrees. I'm trying to tell you, he's the one. He is the one to know and honor him. Now, having said that, now we go to verse 9. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now the witness of men, the witness of there, we all witness what we do and say what we do, and we believe. We believe all the time. We believe the weather sometimes. We do all kinds of things. We believe all kinds of things about everything. People tell us things. We read things in a book. We read things in the paper. We hear things in the news. We're believing. We're believing people all the time. And now you're telling me you can't believe me, said God. When you believe people all the time, you can't do that. Therefore, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Greater. And this is the witness of God. What is the witness of God? Which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 6, 7, and 8. He said, he's my son. He's my son. So don't treat him. Understand? He's me in the flesh, said God. That's what he is. And therefore, you listen to people. Why don't you listen to me? History is there, marked it. George Washington crossed the Delaware and all these different things. But you believe him all the time. Believe what I said. It's a very public thing. And we do it in communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. It's very public. Therefore, which he testified of his Son in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So God, you're going to go concerning your Son. And the little word there, testify of, the little word of, the little preposition. And it's a lovely little one. It's one that says, concerning my Son, just draw a circle and put Christ in the middle of it. God said, concerning, I'm circling, I circle my son. I put him in the center of the circle. It's my son. My son. He's my son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I said, God said. Now God says, my witness is greater. Greater. That's why Genesis to Revelation, God said, I've given you my word. Now you ought to pay attention. So therefore, going if I can, picking up please in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath God, present tense. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He has the witness in himself. He says the witness. Well, the witness is in himself. Now, having said that, what do we know? God, the Spirit of God, has done so many wonderful things. Don't go over to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we have the Spirit of God as a witness. And you remember, as we did it, chapter 2, picking up in verse 20. But you have an unction, an anointing, from the Holy One, and you know all things. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is the Spirit of truth. He's going to help you understand. Verse 27. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You have a unique relationship to God, personal. And the Spirit of God makes it real. He confirms it. He says, so keep going, and if I can. Picking up, please. Go over to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up, please, in the light of that. Chapter 3, and in verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, hereby we know that he abideth in us. How could we possibly know? By the Spirit which he hath given us. That's why you know. Because the Spirit of God said so. God isn't a liar. I don't feel him. I don't see him. You don't have to. You don't have to. You just have to know it. Just have to know it. It's like we shared 100 times. Just like you know you live inside here. You can't see yourself. And if you were up to it, have a special autopsy, and we can look, and we can take all your stuff and look at the thing. We can't find you. We can't find you. No, but you do live in there. Yeah. God said, I live in there. I live with you. I designed you. Body, soul, spirit, to be able, like the filament on the light, God plugged the light in the wall, and the power goes in the filament, and the light lies. God, when you got saved, the Spirit of God plugs into your spirit, and God gives you life. Life. Wow. Therefore, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to do what he does, as only he can do it, and only no one can do it. And we have what? Acts 1:8. So that we're what? His witnesses. We're to bear witness to who he is by the power and the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, and we're to do so. And in doing so, back over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8. And if I can. And in Romans chapter 8, you would remember the Spirit of God, wonderful ministry. I'm going to read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring us in what? He's made us children of God. We're children of God. I'm a child of my human parents, so are you. I'm a child of God because of Christ. And we have that. That's what we have. And therefore, the Spirit of God's ministry makes it all possible. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. You didn't make yourself born. You didn't do that. You didn't do it. Your mother did it, et cetera, et cetera. God did it. God saves you. God gives us the life. It's the Spirit of God doing what he does. He makes you in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work on Calvary's cross. He died to save you, to receive him as your Savior, John 1:12. And when you receive him as your Savior, it is the Spirit of God's ministry to make it happen. I believe, and the Spirit of God makes it happen. When does it happen? The moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now think of Sunday school then, where you have to wait till you die to find out if you're saved. No, God. You're saved now. You have life now. You have the Son now. That's contrary to the whole system we live in, for the most part, that we live in it. The whole system doesn't believe that. Churches don't believe it. Even believers, I think it's the toughest problem that us humans face, for us to understand that Almighty God, who created zillions and trillions of stars and out there and everything, God, who's ever his presence, who knows every particle of dust, saved us and finds his home in our heart. God. Now, G-O-D becomes big. J-O-D in my heart. That's what it's about. And that's what's foreign. And the world doesn't want to know it because it changes their life. That's why we don't mind being Protestants, Catholics. We don't mind because it's comfortable to be a Christian. God. Heaven. Well, hang on. Now, in the light of that. And so God, in his wonderful grace, and you'll see it in verse 15 again, whereby we receive the spirit of adoption. The word adoption, to be placed as sons. Placed, to be placed, positioned, and sons. To be placed as sons, adoption. You've been adopted. God took you from nothing to everything. That's what God did. At once. That's awesome. But no one wants. That can't be. Hang on. Oh, that's too hard. No. So therefore, looking to God, to outwork what he does, and therefore, in God's wonderful grace, go back over to 1 John. God's trying to bang home the point to get it, to nail it to the wall so it doesn't fall off. And therefore, and chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Has the witness. The Spirit of God is going to do it. He's going to make it known. Who tells? That's why you read. The Spirit of God's going to go, and he's going to make himself known in a most wonderful way in your life. And you know, if you read back over to Romans, you don't have to turn there. Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8, 9, 10, and 11. If you have not the Spirit of God, you aren't saved. You have to have the Spirit of God to be saved. And the Spirit of God's what? He's bringing you the benefit of what Christ did on the cross. How do I get the benefit? He gives it to me. He is the benefit. He brings the benefit to me. It isn't something he gives me and I can put in my pocket. He is the benefit. He brings all the benefit of Christ Jesus into my heart, into our heart, so that we have the life. When do we have the life? Now. Now. God's trying to drive it home. But the world doesn't want us to have it, doesn't want us to know it, because it louses up the God of this world, the devil himself, who loves darkness rather than light and hates the light. And to have a believer, real, a believer religious up to your eyeballs. Read your Bible, preach, go up and down the street, dedicate yourself, be committed. Don't enjoy the life of God in your heart. Don't enjoy the life. That's all.
And that's what it's all about. That's why I said, as we look at it differently, the little shepherd boy, using that illustration again, little shepherd boy out there with the sheep that trusts God is way ahead of the big bishop who doesn't trust God. The little kid's way ahead of him. Little kid's real. And that's all God wants. But are you full of intellect? What's your intellect? What's your IQ? I don't know God, but I know you. And God loves it. That's who God hugs. Who does God hug? He hugs a little kid that loves him. That's what he does. I'll have a discussion with you, God. See? No, I'm not going to have a discussion with you. You're God. And I want to know you. That's what it's all about. You'd never know it. That's what God's trying to say 1,000 times to us. So therefore, in contrast, verse 10, he that believeth the Son of God hath witnessed himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. So God, you don't know the truth. You're a liar. Now, if you say that to God, how are you going to be saved? How are you going to be saved? You call God a liar? Now, what's he lying about? Verse 10. Because, the reason, why are you calling him a liar? Because he believeth, you're not believing the record, the witness that God gave of his Son. You don't believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross to save you. And you're calling God a liar. You can't do that. You can't do that. You do it, but you won't be saved. Why? You can't be saved. Because. Verse 11. This is the record, the witness that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's what he said. Now, you can't say it's simple than that. I wrote it down, God said, God, I've made it clear to you. That's the record. I've given you eternal life. Where is eternal life? In his Son. Ah, and then you're going to drive home the nail. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So how's that, said God? If you don't enjoy my presence in your life, in the Son, you're not saved. You have no life. You never had life. You have to have my Son. So I'm a Baptist Christian, a Methodist, whatever, yeah, whatever. You do all that, yeah. Do you have the Son? And a dear Roman Catholic that's all messed up out there. But if the little old heart reads the Bible and believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross and received him as the Savior, contrary to the Catholic Church, they're saved. They're saved even though they sit through Mass and they watch it all over again. You're saved. He that hath the Son hath life. That's it. Where's the Son? I said that all these years to myself and to you. Show me your Son. Show me the Son of God in your heart. That's the only way I know you have life. That's the only way I know. Show me your Son. The life I now live, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm looking for God. Show me your Son. That's what God says. I make it simple. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, in the process of all of that, so therefore, if we make him a liar and believeth not that God is what he has done in his most wonderful way to save us and to do a wonderful thing in our heart and in our head. So therefore, as we share in a moment somewhere, remember, God, you've given us Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. And then that's what we're talking. God said, listen, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift beyond words. I've given you a gift of myself, and you don't appreciate it, and you don't understand it. I've given you myself. And of all the gifts you got, and all the gifts you could get, match that up against it. Put all the things you have against it. There is none. God said, thanks be unto God for his untranslatable gift beyond words. I've given you myself. I've given you my person for your person in my person. It's very personal. I've done that. That's how I love you. Wow. That's what church is about. That's what God's about. But you never know it. Why? It'll change your life. It makes your life different. You're the same old person like we all are. But we have a wonderful relationship in God's saving grace to God. And it changes our life. All the rest of it. And we're on. The churches keep going. They'll keep going. They're already going where? Jumping ahead. Revelation 17. Where's the whole system going? Smack dab into the middle of the tribulation in cahoots with the Antichrist. Revelation 18. That's where it's going. Because why? Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, anyone opens the door, you put me out of the church. You put me out. The churches are there by the ton. But I'm not there. I'm missing. I'm looking for whosoever's that would believe. And let me be God. The rest of it's there. And it's going to go smack into the tribulation. I got to quit. I hope we got a little bit. I do. Our Father and God, you can't make it any. I don't want to call you a liar. God, no, God, it isn't real. Maybe it isn't real. I'm not starting maybes and what ifs and who knows. How can I know? No, sir, God, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to get close to it, God. What you said and what you've done is clear as day, God. And if you've done it, God, then what's there to say? What's there to say? But God, your witness is greater. And like you said in 1 John 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you reminded us in John 4 that you reside and find your home in our heart. Set apart, 1 Peter 3:15, set apart the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God. Let him have a prime place, the place, to sit in the throne of your life. God, yeah. It's a wonderful thing. God, the world doesn't want to know it. But that's what it's all about. And we'll thank you for caring and help us through all of this. God, we're talking about that, which is awesomely, awesomely simple and wonderful. And in the same breath, is out of reach, except we trust you and your word. We can't even have it. It disappears from my head and heart before we go out the door. So God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.